any moment and any time turn to you. That, Lord God, even here in the midst of your presence, that we're not immune sometimes from the things that happen in our lives. We just cover Kevin right now, the precious blood of Jesus, his family, praying, Lord, for healing for his body, that he just gets home, Lord, and just rest us so comfortably tonight. And Lord, just give him peace now and let his heart not worry about anything. And Father, tonight we also, in the midst of this Wednesday night, we pray, Lord, for the horrific loss of life. 17 teenagers that died at another mass shooting, which means, Lord, there are 17 families, mothers and fathers, that are so brokenhearted tonight that only the God of all comfort can bring any form of peace to their hearts. We lift up this nation that we live in that has turned to violence. Lord, this nation that calls good evil and evil good. This nation that no longer values life. I know not, Lord, if this nation is reaping a judgment that we have sown. But Father, I pray that you bring revival to this nation. And Lord, tonight we lift up Jessica, Becky Carlson's cousin, who has finally, Lord, been given a room, Lord, there at the hospital. And Lord, she, as we know, she needs a lung transplant, Lord, and we just pray that you sustain her, that you sustain the family, that you wrap your arms around and embrace each and every one, and that you're just with them, Lord, in such a mighty way. We pray that she live and not die. We pray, Lord, for fresh air to come into her being as she's able to breathe, oh Lord. Be with them now. And again, Father, we pray for Kevin. Just let Amy and all the family, let them be at peace right now, Lord, and let all fear just depart. Let them have perfect peace tonight, and may you be with us in such a mighty way. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. God is good. Amen. You know, there are things like this sometimes that just happen, and thank God they happen in the middle, though, when they're surrounded by the people who love them. Amen? Where we can pray immediately and go to the Lord. And I promise you that the Lord, he delighted in your prayers as you prayed for them. So a lot of things going on here tonight. And as you can imagine, I certainly don't feel too much like sharing announcements right now and or even teaching. But you know what? God's word is good anytime. Amen? Amen. That's right. You know, I pray that you have picked up your cards, your prayer cards, AT&T Stadium for the Harvest Crusade in June 10th, Grey Glory, and then on the other side, of course, is Calvary Chapel, and that you're praying about bringing people, not only here, but also to that great event as well. I want to remind everyone that on the 25th of this month, February, we'll be having two identical 25th anniversary celebrations. We're going to be celebrating the faithfulness of God. Going to have a wonderful time. And then, as you can see already on the screen, different things that are going to be meeting. I pray that you show up on Saturdays if you have the opportunity. If you're, I know many work or they just can't get away, but if you do have the availability, I encourage you to come and pray from 9 to 10 on Saturday here. And boy, we need to cry out to God. Amen? The things that are happening. Also, the Grounded Ministry. I don't know if they'll be, that's of course Brian, Kevin and Amy. It's supposed to be happening Saturday, but we just kind of have to wait on that, amen, and know what's going to be happening. So with all that being said tonight, we're not going to be teaching through a new book of the Bible. We just finished 2 Kings until probably after this month. And next month, you know, I was going to move into doing some topicals, but the Lord hasn't moved in my heart about that yet. So we may be starting the book of Ezra there in the Old Testament, but I'm waiting. But that won't happen until after this month. So tonight, I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And I'll be there in just a moment. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Tonight, I want to talk to you about 21st century hearts. 21st century hearts. And you know what? It is a perfect evening to talk about the heart. It's Valentine's Day, right? Amen? It's Valentine's Day, but I'm not going to talk to you about the giving of cards, and I know that probably you had a card for your spouse and so forth, and or maybe, you know, flowers and so forth, and how love and affection is associated with this day. But I'm going to talk to you tonight about the heart of man, okay? Do you think in your mind, if I ask you this question, do you feel that the heart of man today is identical with the heart of man in the days of Jesus? It's a very important question. In other words, is it just, I know that the heart is deceitful. We know those things. But how about the hardness of a person's heart? I mean, is it harder today than it was, say, 2,000 years ago? You know, I believe with all of my heart that man's heart is harder today than any time in the history of civilization. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it tells us about the last days. It says, the Holy Spirit records for us, says, but know this, and he tells us what we need to know, that in the last days, from the birth of the church till the time that Jesus returns, okay, the rapture, in the last days, perilous, savage, dangerous, fierce times will come. We are living in those days right now. And that's Timothy, there when Paul wrote to him, he gives us, I think about 19 different characteristics of not just a local community, not just, say, a state or a nation, but the condition of the world at large in their hearts. He goes on and he says this. He says, listen to the description of the heart. It says, for men will be lovers of themselves, meaning that all that really matters to them is just themselves or me, you know. Lovers of money, boasters and proud and blasphemers, people who just gossip and speak evil and cut other people down. I mean, if there's ever been a day, is it today? My Lord, you know, disobedient to parents. Now, I don't blame the children for that, but I think parents should have the blame personally. It says unthankful, unholy, unloving, meaning without any family affection, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. I'm going to stop right there. It wasn't too long ago that I shared with just a few people in the leadership of a movie that I had asked them, a horrible, vile, terrible movie that was produced by a Christian organization, but it was just in your face honest, okay? And it showed the condition of our society with our young people in America right this minute. If there has ever been a word that fit that this generation, especially of that movie that I personally watched, it is that word right there that says, without self-control. We live with a generation of young people, not all, but the majority that do not know Christ. They are without control of one. Do you understand? I mean, you know, we can't stick our head in the sand about those issues. It says that there be brutal and despisers of good, literally despisers of those who do good. It says a headstrong and haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. Paul tells Timothy later on in 2 Timothy 3:13, he says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, not better and better, deceiving and being deceived. Satan himself, his time, he knows, is short. He is working harder today than he ever has to steal the heart of man, but also to steal the heart of the young people of the generation that we're living in right now. Now, listen carefully. I'm talking tonight about what we must do as a church if we truly believe the Lord, want to obey the Lord. Amen? Okay. Satan loves any church. It doesn't matter what they call themselves. It doesn't matter Baptist, Presbyterian, Calvary Chapel. It doesn't matter what they call themselves. Satan loves a church that will not be fishers of men. He loves that. He doesn't care if the church grows numerically. He doesn't care if the church grows even spiritually. He doesn't care if they have, do all of those things. He doesn't even care how large the church is or how many wonderful, incredible ministries that church has, as long as those people inside the box here, as long as they don't go out and go into his territory. But when you venture into the territory of the devil, he notes, he puts up a wall trying to keep you from doing that. An attack occurs. Amen? Every time, that's just the way that he operates. In the 13th chapter of Matthew's gospel, the word here is used 19 times. And the parable of the sower is found in the synoptic gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three. Okay? If they're recorded there for us. And the parable of the sower is so important. Listen, the great enemy of man's heart is hearing. Remember what Paul writes in Romans 10:17? Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So this word hearing is listed over and over and over. The purpose of this short message tonight, as we are praying. If you watched the video from Sunday, which will be repeated this Sunday because, the ice hit and we only had about four people here, you know what I mean? Me, Becky, and Paul and Steve. No, and so we're going to replay that because we need to pray. Amen? Oh, give me a little encouragement. Amen? Amen. Thank you. I needed that. So the purpose tonight is a short, brief word from Matthew 13 to, number one, remind you and to prepare you about those that you go out into the world, you share the gospel with, are those that you're praying right now about bringing, not only to hear the lost, the hurting, the wounded, the backslidden, to Calvary, but also who are you going to be taking to AT&T Stadium on that day? It is my earnest, heartfelt prayer. Whenever I attended these meetings with Harvest, I had to make commitments. They asked me to make commitments, and I did. And I told them, I said, I would love to see 100% participation in this church for Harvest America, meaning that we bring the lost people, that we step out and also serve in whatever capacity that they need. They need about 10, well, I think it was 7, maybe last when I talked with Mark, they said, we need 10,000 servants to help us. That's a lot of people, amen? Meaning 10,000 Christians to be there and see God move and save people. Amen? So this purpose tonight is just to remind you and prepare you for that. Now listen, as we look at chapter 13, we're not going to cover all of it, but just remember there are four kinds of people on planet Earth. No matter where you go, there's only four kinds of people, and they all have four different kinds of hearts, okay? And that's what we're going to be looking at. And so this is a parable. The word parable, para means alongside, and able means something that you throw ahead. So it's like someone said one time, it's a earthly story to give a heavenly meaning, and that's what Jesus is doing. He uses the words like soil and seed and birds and sun and so forth, rocks. Now look at verse 1 with me. And let's look at this tonight. On the same day that Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, great multitudes gathered together to him, so that he got into the boat and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spake many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. Somebody tell me, what is the huge painting that we have in the chapel lobby? Anybody know? Thank you. God bless you. I don't know who it was, but you just, Paul's going to buy you a steak dinner now. Happy Valentine's. No, the sower. the sower. He goes out. You know, whenever you think of the sower, when Jesus uses that there, a sower went out to sow. Remember it back in those days, the sower would carry a bag over his shoulder and he would walk along where the furrows, the plowed areas were, and he would broadcast or he would cast out seed into the furrows in the field. And it says, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside and the birds came and they devoured them. In other words, they ate them all up. Have you ever noticed that wherever seed is, if you could go to your backyard, throw out bird seed, do birds show up? Yeah, man, they like it. They go, here's that crazy Becky. She's throwing bird seed out there for those birds. I don't want them in my yard, but, you know, there they are. You know, the birds always follow someone who is with seed or casting out the seed because they're hungry. They want to eat them all up. And so forth. If you've ever gone down to the coast or what's left of the coast, I should say, after the hurricane, the thing is that, you know, they always tell you not to feed seagulls. Remember that? This side doesn't know where the coast is. You do. I'm glad. But, you know, it is really cool. You know what I mean? That, you know how you're right there. And if you have any kind of food, I mean, it's something, you know, and throw it up. Are there like 50 right all over you? Okay, you get a picture then of what I'm saying, right? So here it says the wayside. That's that hard area. If you went to Luke's gospel, which you don't have to, but in Luke 8:5, it talks about what was not eaten by the birds was trampled under the foot of man. In other words, pushed down into the ground, was going to be totally fruitless. And some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, in other words, very little soil. And they immediately, boy, they shot up. They sprang up because they had no depth of earth. In other words, there wasn't any soil there to help them. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. Literally, they were burnt and ruined. And it says, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out. So, you know, there you go to some areas of the soil. And then, you know, what happens with the weeds? Have you ever noticed they spring up first? And then when the grass tries to come up, it literally chokes out the grass that's underneath. And that's what the Lord is telling us here. So it was good soil, but it was occupied, if you will, by just wild growth. And then it says, but others fell on good ground, yielded a crop, 100-fold, 60, some 30. That's wonderful. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to Jesus, well, why do you speak to them? That would be the Pharisees, the religious people. Why do you speak to them in parables? In other words, they don't understand anything you're really saying, Lord. And he says here, well, he answered and said, because it's not given, it has been given to you, meaning you who believe, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, meaning those who don't believe, it has not been given. For whoever has, to him it will be given more. In other words, to whoever believes. And it says, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, meaning the unbelievers, even what he has will be taken away from him. So Jesus is saying people either do two things. They either are progressing or they are regressing spiritually in their lives. People on earth are either drawing near to God or they're not drawing near to God at all. Does that make sense? Now, therefore, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah, that would be Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, not understand, seeing you will see and perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. So Jesus quotes part of Isaiah chapter 6, which was the calling of Isaiah the prophet and so forth. Remember, if you read Isaiah chapter 6, if you get down toward the 12th or 13th verse, remember what Isaiah does? He cries out, Lord, send me to these people, and so forth. And so this described here the unbelieving Jews of Jesus's day. They heard the word over and over, but they didn't get it, and so forth. But blessed are your eyes, Jesus says, for they see, your ears hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets, righteous men, desired to see what you see and didn't see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So he's talking about the religious people. With all the Bible knowledge that they had, they didn't get it, yet the disciples are understanding. Now, the important part tonight is for us to look at the interpretation, because everything that you deal with as a believer is found right here. Meaning, every person that, whether they're the lost or whatnot, these are the type hearts that you're always going to be dealing with in this world, and some in the church as well. Now watch this as Jesus gives us the interpretation. He says, therefore hear, or literally, let me explain the parable of the sower. Now we know that verse 37 of this chapter tells us that Jesus is a sower, but whoever sows the word is a sower. Amen? That means us as well. We're the ambassadors of Christ. We have his word. So in verse 19, it tells us that the seed is the word of God. It tells us in verse 38 that the field that is being sown in is the world, not the church, but the world. And it says in this parable here, it's everyone hears. There's not one person that doesn't hear the good news or the word of God. And the soil, of course, equals the different kinds of heart that Jesus is going to tell us. Now look at verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, question, how do people hear God's word? Someone has to be sowing it. Amen? That's us. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. The other gospel, I believe it's Mark, says that Satan comes immediately to steal the word of God that's been sown in his heart. And it says, this is he who receives seed by the wayside. The wayside is the hard, hard area, the wayside where they entered into the field and so forth. If you've grown up on a farm, like when I was a little boy there on my grandmother's farm, you would go out and we had cattle and horses and so forth. But the cattle, the cows always followed the same path. And in the evening, my grandmother would call them and the cows would come in and they knew it was time to eat and so forth. But that's, if you walked on that path that they walked on, it was so hard. I mean, you couldn't penetrate that if you wanted to. So that's what Jesus is saying right here. He's saying, listen, there are people in this world. They're out there right now. They may be good people. They may be people, they pay their taxes and so forth, but their heart is so hard. Man, the word of God, when it comes out of our mouth to them, it literally just bounces, it ricochets off their heart because they cannot receive it. It's not the word, the gospel's fault. It's not your fault. I say, well, I'm not presenting it right. No, that's not it at all. They are insensitive to God's word. They don't care about the word sin, hell, heaven. They don't care about the cross. They don't care about the resurrection. They don't care about God. They don't want anything to do with God. Matter of fact, Luke's gospel tells us in Luke 8:12, it says, those who are by the wayside are the ones who hear. They hear God's word. We're sharing it with the lost. We're inviting them to church. We're inviting them to AT&T, whatever it might be. And it says, the devil comes and takes the word. Think about that. He takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You know, I have spoken to people just like you have. Their heart is so hard. And every time when I am sharing, Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you, man, let me just talk to you for a moment. You're not being religious. Let me just love on you just for 1 second. Let me have your ear for 1 second. They are so insensitive. They don't know it, but I know it, and you know it, that there you are and you're giving words of life, and immediately the devil is there stealing every word he can where it will not penetrate their heart. You know exactly what I'm saying. Their eyes glaze over. You know what I'm saying? They don't want anything to do with being saved. You know, that's just the way it is. You need to remember that when you're asking people to come to church that don't know Christ or to A&T Stadium and so forth, you have to remember this. The moment that you do that, the moment you sow any word into their heart or try to do that, you have to remember that Satan is immediately active. Do you hear me? He is right there. He doesn't want the word that you're speaking. He doesn't even want you to say a word. You know what was interesting? Sunday, during the second service, a few people were here. I don't know, maybe 100, but probably not. And so as I closed out the service, I was getting ready to give an altar call. And here I am, and I hear this voice. I'm not saying audible or anything, but it was going, Bill, my gosh, there's ice out there on the road. There's nobody here. There's only people that could possibly come to church on a Sunday morning with ice like that. You know, with just a few people who are all believers. Why do you want to give an altar call? And I said, whoa, Satan talking is Satan lying. Do you understand? Four people came to Christ. Yes. You know what I mean? See, that's what the devil doesn't want you to open your mouth and say one word. He doesn't want you to do that. Listen, those hard-hearted people that you're dealing with, listen, I'm telling you something. He fills their mind immediately. When you're talking to them, he starts lying to them. You are a good person. This guy is a nut. You don't need to listen to him. You don't need to go to church. You're your own woman. You're your own man. You know what I'm saying. That's exactly what he does. That's how he does it. Listen, and then he goes, you know, Christians are a joke anyway. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. You know? Listen, Satan's greatest joy comes from hindering those who would even attempt to hear the good news. In other words, receive Christ as Lord. He loves to do that. You know what Satan does? Listen, in the church even, he plants false teachers that produce false believers that rest their eternal security on a false gospel. Do you understand? That's what they do. Oh, my Lord, he is a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a liar from the beginning, loved one. And he says, but he who received the seed on stony places, in other words, there on that rocky soil, this is the one who hears the word, and watch that, he immediately, or she, they receive the word of God, and they do so, the word that you just shared, and it could be right here in the church. They receive it with such joy. In other words, they're excited. They're an emotional hearer. Do you understand? They go, oh my gosh, did you hear what that man just said? Or when they're sharing it. In other words, it just feels right. It has to be right. But what it is that God hasn't penetrated. The word of God didn't penetrate their heart. It only penetrated their mind. It got their mind to thinking. And they may even say, oh, I just love this place. I've seen it so many times. I love this place right here. I adore the pastor. Oh, the people are incredible. Oh, it's just great. I'm involved in ministry. But look what happens. Yet this kind of person, he receives the word with joy, but watch how he has no root in himself and endures only for how long? Just a little bit. Just for a while. And it says, and when tribulation and when persecution arises because of the word, here comes that word again, immediately he what? He stumbles. That word is scandalizo. Remember that sermon? It means he's taken the bait. Okay, he's offended, all right? That's what that word means. He's offended and he falls away. So he has no root. In other words, his feelings were changed, but his heart, they were not changed. Now listen to me. When testing comes, what do? Oh, they fall away. Church, I beg you, and I don't think anyone at Calvary here that's been taught at this church, I don't think any of you would ever say to a lost person or a brand new believer even, you'd never say, just come to Jesus and all your troubles will be over. You know that's not true. 2 Timothy 3:12, all who want to live a godly in this life are going to suffer persecution. Jesus made a divine promise to us in what, John 16:33, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Amen? You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated. It's not all great, but boy, the life of the believer. Amen? So I look, and you have to remember that these kind of people, they were joyous, but after they understand what Jesus requires, they go, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign. There's no such thing as no cost discipleship, amen? Everybody has to pick up their cross if you're a believer. Everybody has to deny themselves, amen? And do it daily, and then we have to follow the Lord. That's what a disciple does. But you know, these guys, oh man, they were upset. And when pressure comes from the office or the college or their high school or whatever, you mean you're one of those Jesus freaks or whatever, they can't handle it. Why? They don't have any root, man. and so forth. Did you take note now? They didn't fall away because they were being beaten up or they were being stoned to death. They fell away what? Because of the word. Because of what Jesus says in the word of God. Listen, persecution and tribulation produces in an unbeliever, they just fall away, they can't handle it. But whenever Christians are persecuted, it creates a strong Christian, amen? That's what the Bible teaches, and I know that's true, and so do you. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, look what happens, choke the word, the seed that you're casting, and it becomes unfruitful. So that person now, you know the story, I've taught this before, we have the person now has a crowded heart, a heart that's just infested, if you will, with the things of this world. This type of person here loves the world more than they love Jesus. Just as simple as that. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world, the things of the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that in the world, lust of flesh, the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. And he who does the will of God abides forever. You know, I was reading a couple of weeks ago a noted Christian author. And listen to what he says. He says, a person who comes to church but never comes committed to serving, who is continually preoccupied, say, with money, career, fashion, sports, and everything but the Lord's work, is a person with a weed-infested heart. Well, that's a tough word, isn't it? Yeah. You know, in other words, if these are believers and they're choking to death with the things of the world, because of course we have to say it's spilled over the world, certainly has spilled over into the church. So he's talking about here, it looks like those who will be saved, but there's no commitment. There's no commitment at all. They just kind of hear the word, but their hearts are too crowded, too infested with the things of this life and the things of the world to ever even serve the Lord. You know, it's amazing that the things of this life, the riches and all the rest of it, isn't it amazing that it can literally, it's so powerful that it can crowd out the word of God? Think about that. Man, oh, how we have to guard our hearts. I mean, can you imagine a church, for example, scheduling a Sunday service around the Super Bowl, not to miss the Super Bowl? Did you know that happened? That happened. I mean, that's unbelievable. Can you imagine a church that only entertains teens instead of insulating teens with the Word of God from the world that they live in? Think about that for a moment. You know, the devil, and we looked at these hearts, the devil, it says that he stole from the shallow heart, and it says that the flesh took over the hard heart, but the world is what destroys, if you will, or the crowded heart. Now look at verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word. And not only hears it, look what else. They understand what it means. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some, and watch this now, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Now, that's a Christian. That's fruit-bearing. That's what we are, the fruitful heart. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch, whenever he was riding back, and Philip catches up with him, he goes up to the chariot, and he's reading from the book of Isaiah, and he says, what does this mean? How can I understand this unless I be taught? And Philip ran up to the chariot, jumped aboard, and said, and he explained it to him. And then he was saved, and then he was baptized. That's what we are to do as well. Fruitfulness is the true mark of every believer, all right? Some of us 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I'm assuming that the reason we're not all in the 100-fold mark is because of our own disobedience to the Lord. Amen? Yes. Now, Jesus said for us in John 15:4, he said, now, abide in me. And I abide in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. He who abides in me and in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If there's anything that we need to remember tonight about this parable that I know you've read many, many times, the one thing I want you to take away in this season, this year, 2018, that we're in, the year where God tells us to prove him now. In other words, test the faithfulness of God. That's stepping out, winning the lost, bringing the lost, whatever. God says, prove me now. You're an ambassador of Christ. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation and so forth. Listen, this parable teaches me, and I pray that it teaches you, that all of us, we have a responsibility to the Lord. Amen? It's very important, especially in this generation that we're living in right now. We're not responsible to produce the seed. It's already there. It's God's word. We're not responsible for imparting eternal life. Only God can do that. We are not responsible for even producing fruit. The Holy Spirit does that, amen, in our own lives as we yield to him. But we do have the responsibility of sowing God's word, being ambassadors for Christ. You know, that's why those prayer cards are so important. That you pray over this church, for that everyone starts bringing the lost again. You used to do that all the time. But where you're bringing people that are hurting, God is their only hope, amen? And you know, what happened? What if just you guys, let's just say on Sunday, someone, let's say 12 of you brought one lost person. Just 12. One lost person. Well, you know what? According to these statistics here, it says 1 in 4 would get saved. Amen? 1 in 4, that's pretty good odds. I mean, you never, God may, or God could save all 12. But that's what happens when the word of God, when the sheep do their job, they go out and they bring in the lost and invite the lost and so forth, pray for them, bring them down to the altar, even if they're not saved, and say, listen, you're hurting. Just, can we pray with you? That's what it's all about. You know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 11:4, it says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. It says in Isaiah 32:20, blessed, or oh, how happy are you who sow beside all waters, meaning sowing the word of God. We have the word that can change a person's life, amen? Change the person's destiny. I encourage you to be fishers of men in 2018. You don't have to be trained. Do you understand? You don't have to say, I have the Roman road memorized. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm available. That's it. He'll put the words right in your mouth. And you know what usually happens? The best way is for when you say, well, now I've got the Roman road, boy, and you lay it all out, and there's nothing wrong with that. I certainly don't condemn that at all. That's a method, but I would rather be led by the Spirit of God when I'm talking to a lost person. I would rather just be empty and say, Lord, you know that person's heart. I don't know that person's heart. You know everything about them. So often, this has happened to you, I'm sure. I know it has happened to me so many times. I just start talking to them, and most of the time, I don't realize that the Lord is reading their mail as I talk. And they keep looking at me, and I'm going, I wonder why their eyes are getting big. You know what I'm going? They must think I'm out of my mind. But really, what's happening is you're the Lord is using you, even though you don't even know it, to speak right into their heart. And the things that you're saying are so true. Why? God knows the heart of every person. He knows whether it's a hard heart. He knows if it's an emotional heart. He knows everything. And he gives you the perfect words to use. So, okay, learn the Roman road, that's cool. But if you just be available and just let the Lord use you and lead you. Listen, that's all that you need, really. You know, Jesus told us, remember in John 15:16, he said, listen, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you. He goes on and he says, you know what? That I have appointed you that you should go. In other words, represent me in the world. You're my ambassador. You should go. And it says, and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You know, God picked you, selected you because he needs you. He wants you to change the world. That's why we have what we call the Great Commission. When you share the word of God with anyone, you need to be so spiritually in tune, knowing that as you're doing that, the demons are there and they want to immediately take away the word that you're sowing in that person's heart. Amen? You need to be aware of that. But you also need to be aware that the Holy Spirit is right there. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Amen? And he's right there. And the Lord will just put things right into your heart. Now listen, even though there are four different kinds of hearts, and the last one, of course, was the good soil, the ones that are saved. Every heart, no matter how it is, hard heart, shallow heart, emotional, whatever. Listen, there's not one heart that's not redeemable. Not one. Amen? Not one. Jesus said, all who come to me, I will nowise cast out. Listen, there's not one heart that God cannot win if we would just go out and do what the Lord wants us to do. Amen? This is the season. This is the year. If there's ever going to be a year for revival, it is this year. We cannot make revival happen. We can't make a move of God. Does that make sense? But I do know this. If you will pray, if you will ask God to bring renewal to your heart, if you will ask God to bring refreshment to your heart, I know I'm doing that. I'm saying, Lord, please. I want to be on fire for you. You know, really, you know what I want, loved one? I want to be on fire for the Lord when I didn't know hardly anything about the Lord. That was when I was first saved. I want to be like that again. See, I don't get to go into the world like you guys do. Do you understand? I deal with church people. Oh, God, help me. No, do you understand? I mean, I'm locked away almost. It's like when I meet a lost person, I don't even know what to do anymore. No, it's the truth. But do you understand what I'm saying? That first time when you came to the Lord, man, and you are so on fire. You want to. You eat and you drink and you sleep, Jesus. That's all you care about. That's all you want to talk about. That's what we need again. That's what we need again. That's what we need right now. That's what we need this minute. That fire. And that fire comes only from heaven. It comes only from the Spirit of God. And he needs to ignite us and fan that flame one more time. Father, we thank you because we know that you love us. And Lord, we're not trying to get into works and all of that because we're trying to do the good work you've called us to. Oh, Lord, the few that are here tonight, I don't know who's listening online, Lord. I don't know what's going on, but I know this. Lord, the church should be full while we have the opportunity. Every Christian should be here while we have the opportunity. Lord, time is short. Help us. Help us to see the day that we are living in. Oh, Lord, help us. Again tonight, Lord, we pray for Kevin. We lift him back up, Lord, just asking you to bring healing to him and helping him tonight. Lord, just releasing the burden and whatever it is. We just thank you for Kevin, his family, just being with him. And Lord, again, we pray for the families. I cannot imagine losing my son, my daughter. I couldn't imagine, Lord, losing a child that's not even, hadn't even graduated from school and being slaughtered and massacred. Lord, I don't understand anymore the condition of America. Mass shooting after mass shooting. I don't know even how to pray, Lord. But I know that you see. I know that you care. Oh, I pray for the parents again. Please, oh Lord, somehow touch them. As you have said in your word, you are near to the brokenhearted. And Lord, for Jessica tonight again, we believe in miracles, Lord. We believe and look to you to work mightily on her behalf. She believes in you, Lord. Father, as it says in your word in Psalm 118, I will live and not die and proclaim the works of the Lord. I pray that for her, touching her, perfect breathing even right now, Lord, surrounding all of the family. We love you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory tonight in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.